Good morning.
Good morning.
You still love Jesus?
Yes.
Anybody want to share a short testimony of something God did last night or so far? Just some breakthrough you experienced or a release of God's power and touch? Caroline. The other mic, could you just switch it on? Thanks.
Hello? Oh, right. Right. This is going to be like probably the five most embarrassing minutes of my life. Basically, yesterday morning, God gave me one word, and that word was coward. And I was one of those eagles stuck in this cage, and I was stuck in a cage of self-consciousness and shame and fear. And I was a chicken in a sense because I could never, stand up and do the stuff that God has given me, like any talents and stuff. And instead of trying, I would avoid it. So... and basically, when I came up yesterday, I was obviously prayed for and everything. And let me backtrack a little bit. Sorry. A couple of months ago, right? I tell you this is the five most embarrassing minutes of my life. It's because a couple of months ago, I actually wrote a song as well, and it came to me in a prayer. And basically, the song was written in like half an hour, and this is the first song I ever written in my life, because. Although I took music in school, I kind of half cheated. I got a tutor to help me, and you know, we'll be writing songs together. And but this is the first time I actually wrote a song, and God told me, look, you should share it out with the world or share it with someone, right? So I plucked up my courage, I took the first step, I shared it with my house church members. So a couple of months ago, they first heard the song, and they encouraged me, you know what, you should share it with the church. But then when we went to church that following Sunday, I don't know if everyone remembers, but Hannah wrote an amazing song as well, and she sang it, and I was like, oh my goodness, I was like, I'm not going to come up here anymore. And I was really scared, because I was scared that, one, my voice isn't as good, two, my song isn't as good, and three, just everything just went down. I was like, I'm really, really scared for this. And you know what, yesterday, when I was being prayed for in 5-10 minutes, so, because we weren't sitting there for that long, I wrote another song in the literally 5-10 minutes. And this is the biggest test, because today, Marsha, you wrote a fantastic song. And so I really put on the spot here today. But anyways, despite that, I'm going to break down my cages today. I am not going to be scared. To prove to you guys that impossible is nothing, right? And so here is my song today. You're my hope, oh Lord, all my dreams are there for you. Yes, it's true. Both my hands, oh Lord, both my feet unchained for you. To work for you, oh God, remove this fear in me. Cause it's not meant to be. Your love has set me free. So come to me. You're my hope, oh Lord, all my dreams are there for you. Yes, it is true. Both my hands, oh Lord, both my feet unchained for you. To work for you. And that's it. Thank you.
Beautiful. One of the words that I wrote down, where's my little book, is I felt that there's quite a lot of people here that have a lot of creativity in you, but often you feel restricted and you are scared to risk with God in your creativity. And I don't know who it was for. I felt there was a few people I sort of felt, but every time I felt God said, don't share it, there's more people. And so this morning when you were singing, and now when you were singing, I just feel God says there are more of you that need to risk in your creativity. And one of the words that I also feel for you guys as a church, that I feel in the season to come, God's going to send you incredible, talented people, but it's like diamonds that is sort of still lying in the mud, still surrounded with dust, and it can just look like a normal stone. But a diamond like that, you need to take it out and you start to polish it. And then suddenly, it is so valuable. It's so precious. And that's what I feel. I feel there are so many diamonds. And so Pastor Samuel and some of the other leaders, I just feel God says He's going to send you more diamonds that need some shaping, need to wash off the mud and the dust. And people have looked at those diamonds and say, ah, this is just, doesn't fit. There's some of us here that the system have boxed you. The system have measured you by your parents, by your culture, by your environment, and they said, you actually don't fit. What we want is you need to do well in business, you need to do well in school, in this and this. But if you don't fit in that box, sorry, you actually, that's not right. And some of you started feeling that heaviness, discouragement. And God just want to come and release that creativity. And if you're in that category, anything with creativity, I want you to stand. And I'm just going to pray over your release of God's anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the creative ones here. And don't just think singing. Some of you can sing. Some of you, like me, cannot sing, but I'm still creative. So, some of us dance. Some of us are going to paint. I shared this morning, I prayed with somebody, and the picture God showed me was a picture of a room that was like white walls on all sides, and it just felt like the room is coming in on you. It felt so sterile, you didn't feel you belong. And the next moment I saw someone came in with cans full of paint, different color paint. And what I saw is you guys just putting your hands in this paint and you're starting to splash the walls. And as the paint fall on the walls, it starts to mix the colors and it just becomes so beautiful. Not sterile anymore, just creative. And that's the way God has created us. He says, my son, my daughter, here is the paint. What do you want to do with it? The canvas is white. You can splash the paint in your own way. And Lord, I just come and I break that box now. That stereotyping that have come through our cultures, through our parents, through our church, through whatever, that have tried to box us and measure us and say, you're not good enough. But God, thank you for every one of the diamonds standing here in front of me. Lord, some of the diamonds still have a lot of dirt on him and still dust and mud and whatever. But they are a diamond and they are so valuable and so precious. And I thank you, God, in this next season, you will start to shape, polish, start to cut these diamonds to become the most beautiful jewels and precious stones, thinkable, that man have seen ever. Lord, I just pray for your anointing. Release them in the creativity you have given them. God, I pray for the prophetic anointing to be released through the artist. Lord, thank you in the Bible. How many times did you use the musicians to go in the front, the artists to go in front, and the battle was won? You use the artist to play, and then the prophetic word was released from God. Or the presence of God just came. And Lord, that's what I want to pray. This will be a new era of releasing your artistic giftings, your creativity through everyone standing here. Thank you, God, that there's no limit to their creativity. Come, Lord, release that. Release that. And I want to encourage you, every time in future that you're going to do that creativity, be it painting or writing a poem or writing a song or singing a song or dancing or whatever you do, see how the glory of God being released in you and through you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Also this morning, I when I prayed with somebody, the scripture that God gave this person, I want to give to you. Thank you, Jesus. It's in Zechariah. Just quickly open it here on my Bible. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18 to the end. Now, this is a very interesting scripture where the Spirit of God came to Zechariah and he sort of saw a vision. Then I looked up, and there before me were four horns. And I asked the angel who was speaking to me, "What are these?" And he answered me, "These are the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem." Then the Lord showed me four artists, and I asked, "What are these coming to do?" And he answered me, "These are the horns that scattered Judah, so that no one could raise his head. But the craftsmen have come, the artists, craftsmen have come to terrify them and throw down these horns of the nations who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter it." And basically what the scripture is saying, the horns are symbolic of strongholds over nations. It's things that are pushing people down. And then God used artists to break the horns. I mean, it's totally unlogical. You don't use artists to break strongholds in the natural, but God is the one who did it. And again, if you look through history in the Bible, every time about there was a big breakthrough, be it with Moses when they walk around Jericho, who walked in front? The musicians and the Levites. And then many other times when they had to walk through the river, who walked in front? The worship leaders, the musicians. The same with David when he brought the ark back to Jerusalem. He had this whole band of worship leaders that were singing and worshiping God and dancing. And then the presence of God came. And again, that's what I feel. This is a word for every one of you. God is releasing you. God is raising you up as an artist in the kingdom of God to break those horns, those strongholds over nations, those things that are keeping people's heads down, as the scripture says, to keep them captive in oppression and depression. And God's going to use you guys to break that. Thank you, God. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, God. Wow. I love Jesus. Wow. And I just want more of His presence. And He loves us so much more than we can ever love Him. We just need to make room and say yes. Yes, Lord. Funye singling. Huanyang hamnida sangyang nim. Welcome, Holy Spirit. And that's what we want to say. God, you are welcome in this meeting this morning. Thank you, God, that you just come and reveal yourself. Lord, we have a short time. But I pray in this little bit time and where we have fun and just interaction, that you will come and reveal yourself to us in ways that we don't know. God, we want to learn more about you. Thank you that you live in us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our counselors. You are the one that teaches us everything Jesus taught us. Just come now, Lord. Amen. Okay, we're going to start with a little bit of a home church fellowship. I'm learning from the pastor. So if you quickly, we're going to switch on my, quickly go to your home churches. There's a, yeah, you can quickly go. There's a reward on the table. I've got two rewards. I've got a chocolate and I've got some nice sweets. No, not that one. Sorry, let me get the other. Yeah, that one. Go to your house churches quickly. Okay, let's sort of be the same place where you were a little bit earlier. That's easy. So you remember where you guys met when we started this session, go to that place. And you can stand in a little circle. We're going to go quick because the first team that have all the answers is going to win some sweets. Okay, so quickly go to your house church and then I'll explain to you exactly what you need to do. Okay, are you guys in your house churches? If you're not in a house church, you're not going to share the chocolate. Okay, here's the question. This is in the New Testament, the Bible talk of 9 gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, discernment of spirits, miraculous powers, tongues and interpretation of tongues. What you need is you need somebody from the Old Testament, only Old Testament. The first group that have 9, it needn't be 9 names. The one name can be used 5 times if God used somebody. I'll give you a tip with number 8. Number 8 is in the book of Numbers. Number 9, I'll give you another tip. Number 9 is the name of a book, the name of a book in the Old Testament. It's 2 different stories, but it is in the Bible. Number 6 is not just discernment, it's discernment of spirits. Okay, here you go. If you have 9, everyone name, tell me and I'll come and check if you're right.
Hallelujah. Praise God. We can testify a little bit later. Hallelujah.
Yeah. You can have the same name 2, 3, 4, 5 times if God used them. You don't need scripture reference, but I can ask you to tell us the story. No reference. You don't need reference. No reference. Just be able to tell the story if I ask you.
Dat ek hom net mute, dat ek tussen.
We already have 5. Abraham. We already have 5. 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, how about this? Do we have to give you the Bible first?
If you have a question and you're wondering about one, I'm not going to give you the answer, but I'll tell you it's wrong.
It needn't be a person.
It has to be a person.
No.
It doesn't have to be. Sorry. We can use...
No.
Numbers.
Number 8. Number 8 is in the book of Numbers. Number 9 is the name of a book in the Bible.
Number 9 is the name of a book in the Bible.
That's tough. Numbers.
What is the name of a prophet and a name in the book of the Bible?
Number 9 is interpretation of tongues. And that's the person who interprets tongues. His name is one of the books in the Old Testament.
Come on, guys. There's a few groups that already got over halfway. We need more. Yeah.
So like if, for instance, God spoke to Joshua about how to strategize about war, is that word of knowledge? Or
Yes.
Okay.
It could be both, wisdom and knowledge.
Okay, there's some groups I've got 7 already. Anybody got 8? Not yet. Okay, let's... Let me just. I just want to check. Anybody done? Okay, I'm going to. This group is also. I'm going to just check. No, they're not. Are you guys done? Oh, you got a question. Okay, let me just check here. Just give it to me quickly. Let me just see. Oh, you're not done. Okay.
What were the miracles?
Eight, okay, we've got eight. One more.
Number nine. Number nine. As well as the gift, right? Yes, it is. Yes. Yes.
No, it's not.
Number nine, was there a clue?
Are you finished? Okay, let's look here. Give me the, just give me the.
All nine.
Right. I just want to check. I want to ask you a question with six. Okay. You do like. Okay, you guys have the choice.
chocolate
or
chocolate.
Okay, you guys can have the chocolate. You guys have the marshmallow sweets. Okay, let's congratulate these two teams. We can go and sit again. I'll give some feedback, and then we're going to teach briefly about some of them. Yeah, you can go to the next one. Okay. Yeah, you guys can go and sit. It's okay. You can. So in the Old Testament, the only time that the gift of tongues was used was Balaam's ass. How many of you know that story? This guy Balaam was a sorcerer, what we will call in Africa a witch doctor, spiritist. And what happened, the Syrian king actually paid him to curse Israel. So now he's on his way to curse Israel. And so what happened the first few times, every time when he started to speak out the curse, it starts to be a blessing. So the first time he did it, the Syrian king is like, "What's wrong with you, dude? I just paid you." He's like, "Perhaps, king, we need to go to the other side of the city." So they go all around. And then again, it didn't happen. So now what happened? Now he's on his way, and suddenly there's an angel of the Lord standing in front of the donkey with a sword in his hand, ready to chop off Balaam's head. And the donkey stopped, and Balaam is beating this ass of his. And the next moment, the Bible says, God opened her mouth. It was a she donkey. And she said to him, "Balaam, have I not been a good donkey to you all these years?" And I mean, now it's funny, they even talk. I mean, just imagine, I mean, today, let's imagine you're driving with your car, and the next moment the car stops, and you kick the car, and you shout at the car, and swear at the car, and the next moment, God opened the car's mouth, and, "Hey, what are you doing?" But then with the last one, with number nine, God wrote with his finger on the wall, "Meni, meni, tekel, Ephrathis," and Daniel could interpret that for the king. And so that was the interpretation of tongues. Let's quickly go to number one. So Solomon, that's the gift of wisdom. Now if you want to write a definition for the gift of wisdom, this is what you can write. The gift of wisdom is to know what to do with the knowledge available to you. Let's quickly look at what happened in that story. Two women came to Solomon and they were fighting about their baby. One of their babies died and now they're fighting with the baby that's alive. "It's mine. No, 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 it's mine." So they came to Solomon and they want help. At that moment, God did not give Solomon the gift of knowledge, number two. Let's just go back quickly with the gifts. That's it. So at that moment, God did not give Solomon the gift of knowledge. He only gave him wisdom. If he gave him knowledge, he didn't even have to speak. He would have said, you are the mother. End of story. But so the gift of wisdom is to know what to do with the knowledge you have. So the knowledge available to him was two mothers, one child. So how did he apply the wisdom? What did he say? Let's split the baby in two, and then each mother can have half a baby. As the soldier was ready to chop this baby in two, the real mother said, no, it's okay, she can have it. And immediately knew that's the mother. See, that's the gift of wisdom. Sometimes a couple will come to you. You will not tell them you have got problems in your marriage. If you tell them they have problems in their marriage without them telling, that's a word of knowledge. But if they come and they say, Stefan, we have problems in our marriage, can you help us? Then God gives me wisdom what to tell them to solve the problem. That's the gift of wisdom. Okay, so we've already sort of done knowledge, but the one we have there in the Bible is Nathan. Okay, you can go back again. So what happened in this story with the gift of knowledge with Nathan? Yeah, you can go back. Thanks. King David sinned. And he committed adultery. Then he committed murder. He killed Bathsheba's husband by sending him to war. And he's trying to cover up his sin. And suddenly God reveals to the prophet Nathan what King David did. Now, what do you think would have happened to Nathan if he went straight to the king and said, you evil king, you did this and this? What would Nathan have done to him? Cut off his head. You see, often we think of David as this sissy boy. He plays the harp and he writes poems. Yes, he did those. He did write a lot of poems and songs and so on. But he was no sissy boy. When he was 12 years old, he killed lions and bears, the Bible says to us. When he was 14 years old, he went to the battlefield just to take bread for his brothers. And he sees this guy mocking God, a giant, a huge guy. And he says, listen, you don't mock my God. Bah. Giant fell down. He didn't just leave him there. He took the giant's sword and chopped off his head. And he lifted up there. Just picture, a 14-year-old boy, picture up a guy's head that he just chopped off and say, this is what happened if you mock my God. And fear came in the Philistine camp. They sang of Saul. They said, Saul killed thousands, but David killed 10,000. Wow. Who of you saw the movie Braveheart? If I have to make a movie of David's life, that's how it will be. That's exactly. I mean, sometimes we have this picture of, no, David was a vicious guy, but he loved God. Nathan knew this. So he did not just have the gift of knowledge. He also had wisdom. He loved his neck. So he was thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And then he starts thinking, what is the soft spot of this king? Now you guys help me. What was the thing that King David loved since he was a little boy? Sheep. Bae, meh. I don't know. How do you guys say it here in Hong Kong? And how do you make the sound of a sheep? Meh. I know the Americans often say baa. And different places, as I go around the world, they make different sounds for the same thing. Okay? So Nathan thought, I'm going to tell this king a meh story. So he went to King David. He said, King David, something terrible happened in your kingdom. What was that? Said the king. King, there was a rich man and he had lots of mares. He had a neighbor that had one little mare. And then one day somebody came to visit the rich man and he decided he's going to have a barbecue. But he didn't want to take one of his own mares. He went and take the neighbor's little mare. And they cut it up and they cooked it. And David got furious. He said, this man should be punished. Yes, King, it was you. And the Bible said, at that moment, David fell on his knees, ripped his clothes, and started to repent. You see, I've seen sometimes people come with the word of God, but not with wisdom. They spit on the people, they shout, they do different things. God, save unto you, and people get so scared. It's funny how we learn all these things from different the TV evangelists and the different, and then we start to speak like one of the other guys. Don't do that. The way you normally speak to your friends, that's the way you bring a word of God. When God shows you something, ask God for wisdom. And then you will have something that will help you. Like that picture God gave me yesterday for some of you with the eagle and the chicken. It's a simple example, but suddenly we can understand it. Okay, that's me. Or different things. And I'm going to share a little bit more as we go on. How simple it is to risk with God. You see, sometimes we think with this whole thing of the gifts of wisdom and knowledge and prophecy, it's like a woo. And you see, again, we are influenced by the media. So sometimes there's the one side where they do something funny. And then, of course, there's the demonic side. Like in Africa, if people think of anything of knowledge or prophecy, immediately they see a witch doctor with throwing bones. And I know in the West or some places when they go and see a gypsy or a fortune teller, they see tarot cards or they see a glass ball. And then when they get a Christian, they also think there must be something like, I don't know what your picture of a prophet or... Ooh, God says to you, woo, stay away from me, please. So what we need to do is very, very simple. Just listening to God and risking with God and giving that word. You know, sometimes people say to me, Stefan, I wish God will use me as he's using you. Now, God have used me in all nine those gifts in different times, in different countries and places. Some very strong, some little. The two gifts that God probably used me in the most is number two, the word of knowledge, and number five, healing. Those are the two that God used me in a lot. And healing is just this last year, the last 12 months, maybe even 10 months, I started to see the gift of healing like never before. But God has used all of them. And what happened, if you read at the end of that chapter of 1 Corinthians 12, you know what the Bible says? Eagerly desire the greater gifts. So it's okay if you have in your heart, God, please, I want you to use me in healing or wisdom or knowledge or faith or whatever, discernment of spirits. You can, and normally what happens, every one of us have a desire for one or two or three of these gifts. It's something that God built into us. And so you just have a desire to, please, God, use me in this. God is the one who put that desire, and you can ask God for that. Tomorrow morning, God planning, I'm planning to have a Holy Spirit party here. I got some balloons, and we've got some fun time. And what we're going to do at the end of that, we're going to pray for those of you who want some of the gifts. And we're going to pray for different ones. And you're going to say, God, I want this one. And then we'll pray for you for that. Okay, so that's what I'm thinking. Again, God, so far every message I've this weekend have not been what I planned it, but that's okay. But I think tomorrow we're going to have a Holy Spirit party. So come prepared. Say, yes, Lord, I want to receive everything from you. See, at a party, what do you get at a party? Gifts. And we're going to receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. How do people in the Bible, how did they receive the gifts? What did Paul say to Timothy? Fan into flame the gifts that you received. How? Anybody knows that scripture? The gifts you received through the laying on of hands by the elders. That's how we receive gifts. Those that are in eldership and God used them, and as they lay hands on people, they receive that. But it's also a stirring up. Fan into flame. So we're going to pray for that because every one of you can have those gifts. Let's go to the next revelationary gift, number four, prophecy. Now, it's also funny, when I go to audiences around the world and they ask me about prophecy, one of the first things they think, or maybe help me quickly here, what do you think if God today used you in the gift of prophecy? What will you be able to say or do? Somebody, just guess. Somebody. Just a wild guess. You can be wrong, it's okay. Okay, you know the Bible. I don't want to ask you. I want to, those of you who don't know, that's those who I want you to guess. Those who know, don't guess, because I'm going to get to the real answer. What do you think? Say there in the back. What do you think? The gift of prophecy. They don't want to answer. What does it mean? What will you be able to do? So if God come today and he gives you the gift of prophecy, what do you think? What will you be able to say or do?
Loving words to
others. Okay, say loving words to people. Yes. The future. Okay, that's the typical answer. Okay, that's okay. What, thank you. Thank you, Kenny, for being bold. That's what I want to hear. That's not necessarily the truth, but it could be the truth. Okay, someone say something that's going to happen.
How about like the truth of what God sees?
Okay, the truth of what God sees in a situation. Yes, theoretically that will be right.
Enhance your relationship with God.
Okay, that will be the end result.
Prophecy is like going spiritual treasure hunting. It's like seeing the gift in people that have yet to come forth and speaking that forth. And by doing so, it gives encouragement for people to go into that direction and just go for it.
Okay, I like the encouragement. Let's quickly open our Bibles and say, what does the Bible say? That's the best. Because otherwise we're all going to have our own opinions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14... verse 3, that's the New Testament definition of prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. I'm going to ask Kenny to read it.
NASB. But one who has... Wait.
Chapter 3.
But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation.
Okay, that used a little bit high words. Let's get one that's a simple English. Anybody got a message or a NIV or what is this?
NIV. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort.
Okay, it's the same words, but just use a little bit different. Let's hear the message.
They don't have...
Okay.
The one who prays, God understands you, but no one else before you're shown.
Oh, here. But when you proclaim his truth in everyday speech, you're letting others in on the truth so that they can grow and be strong and experience his presence with you.
Okay. Now, when I look at the Greek, I forgot now what the Greek is. My Greek is so far behind. But when I look at the Greek words that was used, that's translated roughly in English, strengthen or exhort. The first word there is the word that was used in that time when an architect or a builder strengthen a house or builds a house up so it doesn't fall down. That's one of the things that prophecy could do. When someone come and give a prophetic word to you, it's a word from God spoken to you or to a group of people that will strengthen you so you don't fall down. The second one is the word that's the word encourage. Again, when I look there in the Greek and I look at what is the meaning of that word, it was the word that was used when someone was running a race or a marathon and you get tired. You say, come on, buddy, come on, you can do it, you can finish it. That's the word encourage. Sometimes when we give a prophetic word, it's a word again from God that helps somebody so that they finish the race. The third word is the word comfort. And again, there, the context in the Greek time was the word when someone had pain, physical or emotional pain. When you ease the pain, you comfort that person. So that's exactly what happened. Someone come with a prophetic word, and you have emotional pain in your life. And just that person speak that word. It just lift that pain. And I mean, some of you experienced that. I know Ingela prayed some words, and myself and Fadi over people, and Trudy. And just as that word was spoken over you, it's like, wow. Just feel that release. So I test any prophecy. Does it have one of those three elements? Is it the encouraging word? Is it the strengthening word? Or is it the comforting word? If it doesn't, I say throw it out. Don't even listen to it. Right? People say, okay, but Stephen, what about the Old Testament? I mean, there were some very hard words. Okay, let's look at one of them. The prophet Jonah. God says to Jonah, go and give this word to Nineveh. He's like, no ways, I don't want to go. Eventually, God sent circumstances. He got suicidal. Says, throw me off. They throw him off. But the fish swallow him. 3 days in the fish belly. He said, okay, God, I will go. I surrender to you. So here he goes. And when he got to Nineveh, he said, Nineveh, you evil people, God says he's going to destroy you because you did these things. Did God destroy Nineveh? No. Why not? They repented. Actually, my friends, God did not even have to give them that word. They knew they were wrong. God could have just let them bear the consequences of what they did, and they would have been destroyed. But the grace of God, it was actually one of those encouraging words so that they could finish the race. And when God gave the word, they repented. Now, also, I don't have time today to explain about the office of the prophet and just the gift of prophecy. What we're talking here about is just the gift of prophecy. When you operate in the gift of prophecy, you encourage people, strengthen people, comfort people. Don't come with other, I'll give you some three warnings. Red flags. Anybody's there? Red thing there. There's no red. Oh, there's a little red thing. When you drive on the road and someone is waving a red flag, what do you know? What should happen? Stop. Be careful. Stop. So what happened is I'm going to give you three red flags regarding prophecy. The first one, never ever change direction just based on a prophetic word. So if I'm coming here, I'm just going to use an example. Okay, this is not real. Let's use someone I've not used, Gong Hee. So I'm coming and I say, Gong Hee, God says, you're going to go to South Africa. Woo! And she says, okay, let's go. And she goes to the ferry back tomorrow to Hong Kong, packs her bags, and off to South Africa. Guess what? She'll be in big trouble. You cannot just change direction because someone gave you a prophetic word. You need to, God need to confirm it. Okay, so go back to Gong Hee. She hears this word from me. It's the first time ever in her life that she hears a word like South Africa. What do you do with a prophetic word when someone gave you something and it doesn't make sense? You test it, you pray about it. The analogy I use is, if I give you a book, I love books. In my house, I've got a lot of bookshelves full of books. If someone gives me a book, sometimes I look at it, I think, okay, I don't want to read it now. I just put it there on the bookshelf. 2-3 years later, I hear something. I think, you know, I've got a book about that topic. I go to my bookshelf, dust it off, take it out. Wow, and it makes sense to me. It's the same with prophecy. Sometimes God gives us a word. At that moment, it doesn't make sense. Just leave it there on the shelf. If it's a word that's contradictory to the word of God, throw it away. Put it in the garbage bin. Okay, don't even harbor it. Okay, but if it's not, it's just a word you don't know, just put it there on the shelf. Okay, so let's go back to Gong Hee. Sunday, next Sunday, she goes to church somewhere in Hong Kong or even in this church. Suddenly, Pastor Samuel stops and he says, you know, I don't know, Nelson Mandela, I don't know. Does it make sense to you? Okay, now you need to listen because Nelson Mandela is from South Africa and maybe there's something God is saying. But even with two words, I mean, God's now confirming, but that doesn't mean she's leaving tomorrow. Next week, she goes on the somewhere in town. Suddenly, someone stops her and says, man, I don't know. I just feel the southern part of Africa, something of a sudden. No, it's three words. Even with three words does not mean you go tomorrow. Then you need to start to say, okay, God, when am I going? Is it in 3 weeks, in 3 months, in 3 years, in 20 years? That's often where people miss it. They hear the word and I think it's now. We need to get the timing right. Now, sometimes God speaks a word and we don't listen. And it should be now, but let me give you this example. When in South Africa, for many years, we were at war with Angola. Not at war. We helped the rebel force in Angola that fought the communist government. There was a whole thing there that happened. Cuba was backing Angolan government. And then the CIA from America was backing the rebel force. And this is a war that went on for 27 years. In South Africa, part of our military service, it was mandatory at that stage for us to do military service. Somewhere in that time, you have to go for 3 months to Angola in a war combat situation. It was terrible. Of course, you in fight where people shoot you and you shoot people. Now, what happened after that, you can volunteer to go again. You know, like the American troops, they go to Iraq or Afghanistan. And then what happened, when they come back, they can actually volunteer to go again. But you're crazy if you volunteer or something wrong with you. But what happened? My friend Grant, he was a Christian. He felt God said, Grant, you need to volunteer to go again. He said, get behind me, Satan. And a few times when God spoke to him, he rebuked the devil. God actually explained to him. God said, Grant, there's some of your friends that are going to get killed. You need to go and talk to them to make their lives right with Jesus. And he was ignoring it. So one day he's sitting in his bungalow and there was just one other guy was lying there. He was sleeping. This guy was not a Christian. He was a heathen. So he's sleeping and my friend Grant is reading his Bible. And he felt God said, go and volunteer your name. He closed his Bible and said, no. The next moment he told me, he said, this guy that was sleeping, the pagan, was not a Christian, sat up in his bed with his eyes closed, pointed his finger at Grant and said, don't be like Jonah. Shelby, yes, sir. So he volunteered. So sometimes God can use a prophetic word to rebuke us, something we've not listened. I mean, yeah, God used a donkey, God can use a pagan. So sometimes God can even use unexpected people to speak in our lives. So don't have your prejudice. It should just be Pastor Samuel that gives the word. No, I mean, God can use him. But God can also use even people at your work. So let's listen with our eyes. Okay, the second word with the red flag. So the second red flag. Listen to me, ladies. If any, the single ladies, if any of the gentlemen come to you and say, thus saith the Lord, you are my wife. I give you permission to raise your right hand and say, come out in Jesus' name. But, you know, we laugh about it, but I see it all over the world happen in the body of Christ. People use the word of God to manipulate someone to do something they don't want to do. It's not from God, it's from the devil. God will never manipulate you to do something you don't want to do. We had at my base, there was one girl. Five different guys had the word of God that's their wife. The same girl. They came to me even, submit the scriptures. Guess what? It wasn't the word of God. She was very pretty. She had lots of money. It was the lust of the flesh and the lust of money that make them hear the words. You see, when you fall in love or you're emotionally involved in something, when you open the Bible, anytime you're going to look, it's going to, yes, yes, it's going to jump up at you. Okay? So I'll give a little bit at the end. I'm going to give three just warnings or things how to apply the prophetic words and so on. Okay, so don't let anybody manipulate you with the word of God. It even happened with pastors. Sadly to tell you, around the world, pastors come with the word of God. And then they manipulate their congregation members to do something they don't want to do. My friends, don't ever let anybody manipulate you to do something you don't want to do. You know, let me show you something. Let's use the pastor and his wife as an example. Okay, so we're going to use Lisa. Okay, Lisa is going to tell me now what she likes Sam to do for in the mornings. Okay, so in the morning, what time would you like coffee in bed? let's put it in here on my computer. Okay? So, 8 o'clock, okay? She needs want to sleep a little bit late. He needs to take care of the babies and so on. Okay? And then he needs to make up the bed. And there's certain things. She's going to tell me everything she likes her husband to do. Okay? So now we're going to go. Tomorrow morning. Wow. Good morning, love. And he stands up. And exactly as we program it, he will do it. Would you like it? for 1 or 2 days. But if it's every day the same, will you like it? No, you won't. You won't. Because the only reason he's doing it is because we programmed him. It's not because he loves you. It's not because he cares about you. It's because we put a computer into his brain. Now, God have the ability to do that. God can come and just go, and you will, I worship you, Jesus. Bitty, bitty. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you. God can do that, but he will never do that. Because he wants people to worship him and love him because they want to. Always there's freedom. That's the one thing that God has given us, that we have freedom. Even today, if you decide, I don't want to follow God anymore, you have that choice. You have total freedom to make choices about anything, even bad things. I mean, God doesn't want that for you, but you can choose to do that. Now, therefore, don't let anybody manipulate you with the word of God. Even parents do that. Parents come with the word of God. And they manipulate their children. Oh, God said this and this. It's not from God. It's witchcraft. You know what's witchcraft? Witchcraft is when you override the will of somebody else in an area. And normally it works through fear. And then people also use, like the pastor or the parents, whoever it is, the boyfriend, use the fear of God in a situation. God said, so I can't go against God, so I have to do it. Maybe just as I speak this, maybe there's one or two of you that somewhere, somebody used the word of God to manipulate you. In a relationship, from a leader, Christian leader, or from parents, and you just felt manipulated. I would like you to stand, and I just quickly want to break that thing on you, because it's not from God. So anybody that feel that as I spoke this, You just want to, maybe it's just one or two. I just quickly want to break that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Okay, you just, as you stand there, just in your mind softly, take that situation to God and say, God, thank you that you have called me to be free. And Lord, just, I'm not going to come under that. And Father, I want to just pray now for brothers and sisters standing here. I break over them that manipulation. In Jesus' name, be free from those words that others have spoken over you and tried to manipulate you and control you to do something you don't want to do. Thank you, God, that the Word says where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom, there is liberty. And I just pray for that freedom to come and fill us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Is it yours? Is it your water? Maybe this one. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Third red flag. I'm getting sidetracked. Third red flag. Don't ever put a date on a prophecy. If someone come to you and they say, on the 26th of October, 2009, Jesus is coming. And they work it out with this country and this melted together and this happened and the Pope this. And don't listen. Jesus said he doesn't even know the times and the seasons. Okay, so these people are so clever. They're not just about Jesus. People come and they say, in 3 months you're going to get married. Or in so many days this is going to happen. You know what happened? You set that person up and yourself up for failure. And I've seen so much hurt, so much disappointment in the body of Christ with people coming with like dates. Did God use dates in the Bible? Yes. It was limited. Often the Bible talks about a season and a half, few seasons. The classic example about dates in the Bible was where someone yes said that earlier, the group of Jeremiah. What happened? The other prophets said in 2 years, you're going to go in captivity, and in 2 years, God will bring you back. Few prophets said that. Then Jeremiah stood up. He said, these guys are lying. It's a lying spirit over them. It's not going to be 2 years. It's going to be 70 years. Daniel is now in captivity. 70 years later, he's reading the scroll of Jeremiah. Goes through this big scroll. And he's very clever, the Bible says. Very wise. He works out. Wow, God, it's 70 years. God, I want to remind you of this promise you gave 70 years ago. And immediately God sent the angel Gabriel as an answer to his prayer. That's what the angel said. The moment you pray this, basically the moment you remind God of what he promised 70 years ago, God sent me. Wow. So that means even we can remind God of things that he already said he wants to do. And the best place to look is the Word of God. Those are promises God said he will do. So in prayer, how do we pray? We remind God of things he already said he wants to do. And if any of you know what intercession is, I want to give you a simple definition of intercession that will change your whole prayer life. Intercession is this. God wants to do something on earth. We remind God what he said he wants to do, and God does it. Let's say it again. You missed it. God wants to do things in your life on earth. You remind God of what he said he's going to do, and he does it. That's intercession. And if you understand that, your whole prayer life will change. You know, let's use a simple example in the Bible. God said, Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. Pray ye to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. You think, my goodness. Doesn't God know there's laborers needed for the harvest? Of course he needs it. He knows it. So why does he want us to pray what he already knows? Because that releases him to do something on earth. Okay, now this is a whole teaching by itself. Just one sentence I want to give you about what intercession is. Okay, then I just want to give you three things that works with all three, the knowledge gifts, wisdom, knowledge, prophecy, and discernment of spirits. Three simple things that will help you. The first one, you need to step out in faith. If you're going to wait till you know that you know this is the word, you'll wait till Jesus comes and you won't give it. You will never know that you know. That's part of the thing. You just have a feeling, you have a sense, and then you step out and you risk with God. Okay? The second one is keep it simple. Okay, let's use a simple example. Thank you, Jesus. Grace. Okay. I'm going to use this example, but it's the truth too. Okay, so as I'm thinking about you, suddenly this is the simple... Yeah, here, come stand here. This is a simple picture that comes to my mind. Some tissues. Now I'm going to keep it very simple. I'm going to just... The first thought that comes to me, I won't necessarily even tell her she's a tissue. Okay. What the thought will come is, or let's even use it a little bit more dramatic example, but it's still the same thing. Let's see, it was, the picture that came to my mind is a toilet roll. I'm not going to say, Grace, you're a toilet roll. You know what I'm going to say immediately? Grace, I just feel God says you are very soft, and I see how God's going to use you to dry tears. It's the same with this. Now, I can go in a lot of things that are not simple, and what we can do with tissues or toilet paper that we don't want to talk about here. You can wrap someone in a mummy or whatever you want to do with it. You can use it as stringers and a wedding, throwing it. But that's not what we're going to talk about. Simple. I feel God says you're very soft and you're going to dry tears. And I feel that. And I see how God's going to use you in that. That's it. That's how simple it is. Thank you. You see, sometimes we complicate things and we think it should be this heavy word or this, just ask God for a simple picture, for a simple thought, and that's it. One of my friends, remember Hendrik that stayed there with Francois? Man, this guy, he was spot on. He get a word from God and he gives it, and then he goes with a whole tangent and he totally missed it. And time again, I had to say to him, Hendrik, just give that one sentence. Don't put anything else. Don't try to add to God. People are not going to listen. Just simple. Yeah, that's the second thing. Third thing, you need integrity. Let me give you an example. So, let's use Will. So, Will have a fight with his father. You think it will be good to give your father a prophetic word, Will? No. There won't be integrity because you will try to punish your father in a word. Okay? Or the same with the word I used earlier. When you fall in love with somebody, when your emotions is involved, anger, whatever the emotion is, you cannot, there's no integrity. You cannot give a prophetic word because then your emotions start to take over. So always make sure those three things. Faith, keep it simple, and integrity. And so easy. So, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we go a little bit or is our time up? 12 o'clock. And we started about 10 past 11. So, okay. We'll go a little bit more. Let's do healing. Let's stand. Maybe squeeze somebody else's shoulders a little bit. Let's all turn to that side. Face that wall. And then the person in front of you. Everybody to that side. Okay, let's turn around. Can Kenny help me?
This one?
Yeah, just the other one. I don't know how to get to that. Okay, we can be seated again. Kenny, just quickly help me to get... Oh, that one, yeah. Okay, no, that's... Yeah. Okay, just press play. It's fine. Okay, then if you sit here, one of you, just I'll tell you the next slide. Okay, the next gift we're going to quickly look at is the gifts of healing. Play. Just press play. Yeah, then you moved over it. Oh. Okay. Gifts of healing. Why do people get sick? Tell me a little bit. What do you think? What makes people sick? Sin. Sin is a definite one that will make people sick. What types of sin that you know of that make people sick? Unforgiveness is the number one reason why people get sick. Bitterness and unforgiveness will mess up your body. You get ulcers. Even if you look at the symptoms of cancer, a lot of that, what the Bible describes, he says, bitterness dries up the bones. I'm not saying every cancer is because of sin. You smoke a packet of cigarettes a day, guess what? You have a very good chance you will have some serious diseases in your lungs and all over. But yeah, unforgiveness will lead to sin. What other sicknesses? What other sins? What about sexual sin? Yeah. I mean, millions of people are dying. In my country, South Africa, over 5 million people are HIV positive. And now, not all of them is because they sin. Some of it's their parents. Fairly, I have to work with a lot of babies. I mean, these days, the standard procedure is do a C-section because with the mothers. Because otherwise, if it gets from the child, from the mother to the child, we'll get the AIDS. And through breastfeeding and things like that. What else?
Gluttony,
yes. We look so nice because we eat so nice. So when you eat bad, guess what? It's going to have a bad influence on your body. Okay, something else. What about anxiety and fear? What is the sin there? It's the sin of unbelief. When you have fear in your life, or that leads to sickness. Let's put the next slide. This one I call ignorance or stupidity of man. I just want to check if the sound is on. The beginning of swine flu. This is case zero. Yeah, this one doesn't have sound yet, but just make sure it is on. Yeah, okay, now it's going to be loud now. Okay, it's going to be very loud. Yeah, first keep it down. The next one, it's not there yet. What happened? A lot of things we do in life, I call it stupidity or ignorance of man. Isn't this a beautiful picture? Wow. I just love it. Okay, let's go to the next slide. There's no sound. That's okay. Found. I don't know if he doesn't make contact here. Not playing.
Mükemmel bir atlayış. Atladı. Çok güzel bir atlayış. Herkes şaşkın. Atlayıştı. Evet. Omuz ve baş sallama. Evet. Ve Yaşar görünüyor.
Let's do it again. Some of you missed it.
Merhabalar. Yapılmakta olan Ulusal Dalgıçlık Olimpiyatları için güzel şehrimiz Diyarbakır'a hoş geldiniz. Evet, yarışmacımız Yaşar yürüyor. Yaşar hazırlanıyor. Mükemmel bir atlayış. Atladı. Çok güzel bir atlayış. Herkes şaşkın. Atlayıştı. Evet, omuz ve baş sallama. Evet, ve Yaşar görünüyor.
You see, so many times I meet people and the sickness or what happened is because of stupidity of man. Ignorance. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Not using toilets. You know what? In Africa, every day they tell me about 30,000 babies and children die. You know what they say in Africa? It's the evil spirits. No, it's not the evil spirits. It's the evil stupidity and ignorance of man. When the missionaries came from Europe and America to South Africa or to Africa, they lead people to Jesus, they baptize them, they build a church, hallelujah, let's serve Jesus. But they never taught him basic principles that the Bible teaches. Let's go to the next slide. Let's see if any of you ever heard. Let's read this. Designate a place outside the camp. It's in Deuteronomy 23 verse 12 to 14. Where you can go and relieve yourself. As part of your equipment, have something to dig with. And when you relieve yourself, dig a hole and cover up your excrement. Your poo-poo. For the Lord your God moves about in your camp to protect you and to deliver your enemies to you. Your camp must be holy so that he will not see among you anything indecent and turn away from you. How many of you heard ever that preach in a church? But you know what? If pastors in Africa and many parts of the developing world start to teach this principle that God gave thousands of years ago, they will save so many lives. Yes, I can go and pray for sick people and God can heal them. But you know what? I will have to pray so much every day that we will not even get to all the sick ones. So what is better? To teach the principle or to pray for the sick? You see, now God was so wise. God could have said to the guys, Israelis, do not poo-poo in the camp. One day in a few thousand years, somebody will come and they discover something called a microscope. And if you put a piece of your poo-poo under the microscope, you can enlarge it a few thousand times and then you will see there's some things that move like this. They kill you. They'll say, God, what are you talking about? So God says, listen, I'm a holy God. I don't want to walk in your camp and find poo-poo there. That's how simple God did it. Now this principle is still applicable today. You know how many parts of the world they don't use toilets? And people get sick. The same thing with hygiene. In the book of Deuteronomy. Now, the first time I read the book of Deuteronomy, I thought, these poor, poor people. There's 350 do's and don'ts. Do this and do not do this. And do this. And when this happened, this is what... You think these poor guys... No, it was wonderful principles God taught. One of these principles... Okay, just quick pause. How many of you heard of the black flu that broke out in Europe? And... many, many millions of people died. It was like a... What time was that? 1918. There was a 1918 flu that broke out in Europe and millions of people died. What happened was the Jewish communities, very few of them died. The other European nations thought the Jews have some special cure. I actually read on the internet. They caught some Jews and tortured them and say, what is your medicine? They didn't know. You know what was the medicine? It was the Word of God, the book of Deuteronomy. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, when somebody dies or when a dead body is, they do not touch the dead body. If you touch a dead body, go outside the camp, purify yourself. There's even a time limit. Stay there so long. Do not touch blood. I mean, it's very gross. I don't know if you guys read Deuteronomy. It's like this type of blood and that type of blood. I'm like, oh my goodness. It talks about body fluids, this type and that type of body fluid. Do not touch it. If by accident you touch it, go outside the camp, purify yourself and wait. It's first in the last 30 years that it was medically proven how does sickness go from one person to another. I mean, today we all know it. We see the masks on the plane. And how does sickness go from one person to another? Body fluids and blood. Before that, I mean, if you think at World War II or World War I, when someone got shot, basically, and then they will work on the person and the same instruments on the next one and they all die. Because it was just transferring the diseases and whatever. Now we know that. But God taught this principle thousands of years ago. And it's still applicable today. So what I'm teaching you in here. What's happening? Is it mine or is it something? Something is happening. What I'm showing you today. I believe in the supernatural healing. I prayed for two babies this year that had AIDS. One was a while ago, 3 months ago, and the other one was also over a period of about 2-3 months. And God healed him. It's not possible. I mean, here's the doctor. You can ask him. It's not possible to heal somebody with AIDS medically. But is it possible for God? Yes. And I've seen many other things that God have done supernaturally. So I believe in that. But at the same time, we should do what we can. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, sexual sins. We can go to the next one. Unforgiveness, we already had. Next one. Divorce. This is one I got from the article from CNN. It was July. Divorce, health scars permanent. They did a study. This is not Christians. This is from a research. And they actually, Chicago study involving so many people, and they found that those people are more sick because of the emotional scars. Next slide, please.
Those are my parents.
Put it a little bit louder.
Charles DeVille Wood.
Louder.
The company found us, Peter. The virus is their crime.
They're responsible for this.
Your
parents sin, children suffer.
The parents sin, the children suffer. This is what they said there. I mean, you guys, how many of you saw Euros? Anybody watch that? Okay. The Bible teaches that. He says the sins of the fathers visit the children in the third and fourth generation. I don't have time now, but often I do this. I call people to the front. I say, okay, you are the child. Gets a father and mother for you. Gets two grandfathers and two grandmothers. Four great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers. And eight great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers. That's the fourth generation. Just there, I put 30 people that have a direct influence on your life. And you see, so we need to repent of that. Say, God, any curse that could come on me because of my father or my grandfather or my grandmother or my great-great-grandfather, mother, break that. See, the wonderful thing these days with the internet, I don't know how it's in this part of the world, I could go on the internet and I could find out who was my great-great-great-great-grandfather who came in 1685 to South Africa. Is it me? Maybe. What's happening? Test. I don't know if it's me. And so I could trace that. I could see this guy was a farmer. This guy did treat his workers very badly. And so I could go through all the generations. My grandmother, Ingela and myself, my grandmother was a white witch. What is a white witch? My grandmother, when the phone rang, now that's a long time ago, before there was ID caller on telephone or so, she always knew who was phoning. She would say it's so-and-so, and she was always right. She would take your teacup and read that. And now people were like, ooh, Oma, Grandma. It was a spirit of divination. It wasn't by the power of God. It was the spirit of the devil, and we had to stand in the gap and say, God, we break that curse that came on our family because of my grandmother's involvement in divination, in witchcraft. And so whatever was in your family, Freemasonry, whatever, there's other things that could have. If you know that, break it. If you don't know, just go in general. The Bible says Jesus became a curse so that the curse does not have to come on us. Let's go to the next one, please. Okay, so let's go on. Next one.
Would you do that? Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building and art thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What?
Your plans.
Our own plans can cause our bodies to malfunction. Next slide, please. The devil makes people sick. Jesus cast out often. There was the boy who was mute and dumb. Jesus cast out a spirit of mute and deafness, and suddenly his eyes open up, and his ears and his mouth. Next one. Witchcraft, next one. Where next one? Okay, look at this. Is the sound on? This one is free. I just loved it so much when I saw it on YouTube. And next one, please. Okay, is medicine and doctors okay? I mean, God is the healer, so we shouldn't go to the doctor, should we? Yes, we should. God, what did the Bible say? God says, rule and reign over the earth. So God gave us common sense to rule over sicknesses. Do you know that? Whatever, 100 years ago, if someone got an infection, they die. Any infection you get, what they happen, I don't know if you saw it in the movies, when someone gets shot in their arm or their leg, how did they save that person's life so that the whole person don't die? Saw off the arm, so that just to save it. Then, there was a Christian scientist, a scientist who was a Christian, and let's not confuse it, okay? Okay. His name was Fleming, Dr. Fleming. Have any of you heard of Dr. Fleming? Dr. Fleming was busy with experiments, and under his microscope, there was some bacteria. Bacteria is the thing that causes the infections, and that's the thing that causes you to die. While he's busy with this experiment, a piece of mold, you know mold, the stuff that grows in your bathroom or on your bread, it's black, green, whatever. A piece of this fell at that moment. He just saw it, and it fell into his experiment. And he looked through the microscope, and what did he see? This mold kills the bacteria. Wow! He just discovered penicillin. Today, because of that discovery, millions and millions of people are saved every day. You know what? If it wasn't for that, with this swine flu that just broke out, we probably would have looked worse than that 1918 flu because of the antivirals available and other things to us. So many, many lives are saved because of that. I mean, that's the sort of the root. I mean, the doctor need to actually explain it to us, but from antibiotics and all those things. But it was God who helped us. I believe maybe there's some of you that have a heart for science. God's going to help you to discover the next cure for AIDS or for malaria. Still, every year, millions of people get killed because of malaria. And there are many things like that. Now, yes, we can pray. One of my friends, Bruno, I mean, God used him for every person when they have malaria and he prays for them, they just get healed. But I mean, he can only pray for so many people. So is it better to get the cure to keep people healthy? And so that's why I'm teaching you today both angles. Let's go to the next one. Okay, let's go next one. Okay, John chapter 10 verse 10. John 10 verse 10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who is the thief? The devil. The devil is the one who wants to destroy everything God made. But praise God, the scripture doesn't end there. But I have come that you may have life and life to the full. Who's the I in that story? Jesus, I've come for every one of us to have life and life to the full. That's how I test any situation. Is this what this person is experiencing? Is it stealing, killing, and destroying? Or is it life and life to the full? It's easy. If it's life and life to the full, I say, thank you, Jesus. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, I also say, thank you, God, for your healing power. But I don't believe that is God. Now, some people say, no, Stefan, God made me sick. Does God make you sick? No, I got so close to God. Stefan, you don't understand. When I was in this accident and I got paralyzed, I got so close to God. I would have never. I've got a son. His name is Yitro. He's 13 years old. He doesn't like to spend a lot of time with his dad. He's busy with his friends all the time. Now, I decide, man, I want Yitro to spend a lot of time with me. That will be good for him. So I take him. I break his back. What will you say? You evil monster. You crazy person. But that's what we say of God. God is not an evil monster, crazy person. You see, now again, I don't have time for this whole explanation. It's again with the thing of free will. Because people say to me, but how? Why does God allow it? I don't understand that, Stephen. God is a loving God. You see, God gave us freedom on earth. And God cannot just come in every situation and override people's freedom. We would like that. We would say, God, just come in every situation and override all that. But the problem is, once God override it here, you have to write it in every other place. And then we don't have freedom anymore. So you have freedom, but because you have freedom, people do stupid things. People drink and drive. And things like that happen that have consequences on us. And again, that's for us a very difficult thing to understand. Now, what happened is when we intercede, again, in a situation. So let's say I wake up and I feel I'm worried about Trudy. There's something going to happen to her in the middle of the night. And I start praying for her. That will release the hand of God to protect Trudy. And God can, in a sense, interfere in that situation. Again, that's a whole teaching by itself. So I can't get into that now. Our time is running out. Let's go to the next one, please. How many of you believe that Jesus have paid for your sin? How many of you believe Jesus paid for your sin? Okay, I hope all of you. Otherwise, we'll need to pray for you afterwards. Why do you believe it? I shouldn't have showed you the scripture yet, but why do you believe Jesus paid for your sin? Because the Bible says so. And the Bible, the classic example in the Bible is Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely you took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we were considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Thank you, Jesus. All my sins is forgiven if we take it to him. That's what the Bible says. So we all believe it because the Bible says that. But then we stop. What is that same verse says that talk about your sins have been forgiven? Let's read that together. By the bottom, the red there. By his wounds we are healed. You see, my friends, the same when Jesus died on the cross, he did not just die for your sin. He died also for physically for you, for every part of you, because we are one. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. And Jesus paid the price for all of that. Let's go to the last verse. The kingdom of God. Okay, now this is what Jesus prayed. I think all of you know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, let's say we are in Shanghai. Okay, let's say this meeting was now in Shanghai. And Pastor Sam, suddenly the police decide, man, this is a bad guy. And they decided they're going to want to arrest him for something. And he realized, I'm now in trouble. So he starts to run. And the police are chasing him. Now, it's not the right laws. It's wrong laws. He's innocent, but they want to get him. And then when he gets close to the American embassy, he shouts, open up, I'm American, open up. So he runs, and when he gets to the door, they open the gate, and he comes and slams the door, and the police run behind him, and with their guns and everything. What happened the moment he goes into the American embassy? Whose laws are applicable there? American laws. So even if the laws of that city or town is not just or righteous, that compound is in the territory of Shanghai, the American laws apply there. This is actually what Jesus told us to pray. He said, pray, Father, let your embassy come here on earth, and let the laws of your embassy be applicable here on earth. You are still on earth. And even though there are many other things that go wrong here on earth, the moment that is like, so what I pray, and this is the thing that changed my life for healing. I'm praying, God, let your kingdom, your embassy come here around me. And even if I'm in Africa or I'm in whatever place in the world, I can pray that. And maybe there's other things that the devil is doing there. But at that moment, God's kingdom come in my life. Do you think one day in heaven people will be sick? No. So therefore, when you pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, it's literally like you make a little embassy of heaven here on earth. And the laws of heaven is applicable there. Even though you are in the world, you have that little compound. So what I do, I create the embassy of heaven around me. And then sometimes I invite people to come into that embassy. And they experience healing. They experience deliverance. They experience freedom. Whatever it is they need, God's kingdom can come. The will of heaven can be applicable there. And once I realized that, my whole life changed. My spiritual life, whatever I'm doing with God, that's what I'm praying. God, let your embassy come. Let your kingdom be established here. Let the will, what happened in heaven, be the will here. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the revelation of this. Thank you, God, that we're going to see your gifts operated and manifested through our lives. Thank you, Father, that we're going to see the gifts available to us, wisdom and knowledge and prophecy and healing and whatever the gift is. I pray, Father, that this, what I spoke this morning, will become such a revelation that everyone here will make it part of their lives. Thank you, God, we're going to see incredible healings and miracles and people's lives change as we apply this to our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Larry, just quickly come here. Larry, have you got that piece of paper? Larry just yesterday showed me, he just felt like words. I had on the other night in the church, I had some words of healing. The lady with Samantha with, what's her name? Grace. That are you, yes, you. How are you feeling? We prayed. I had a word of knowledge on Friday night for her. How are you feeling now? She had neck and esophagus and headache.
It's kind of embarrassing. I have all three problems that he, all the three pain that he mentioned. And this morning, oh, really? I thought I'm too loud. So this morning, 2 hours of healing and deliverance, and now all the pain is gone. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so let's see if I can read here what Larry wrote. Now, this is just the exercising in the gift. So I just feel quickly, we'll do that. And I know it's lunchtime. We're going to break now. But Larry just prayed and he felt these few things in the area that God wants to heal. Complications in pregnancy, something with placenta previa. Previa. I must actually let the doctor read it. I'll read it wrong.
Okay, complications in pregnancy, placenta previa, heart conditions, especially palpitations and heart racing, hip problems, pain in the hips, lung problems, persistent coughing, pain in left knee, and then persistent headaches.
If any of these things apply to you, you can just stay behind quickly and we'll pray for you. Larry, you can come and pray with. You're the one that had the words. Again, with the word, like the thing I said earlier with the word of knowledge. You know how simple it is? A thought will come up. Or suddenly some people feel the pain. I've had it once or twice, but most of the time it's just a thought that comes up. So I suddenly will feel a pain that I know I didn't have a pain before. And then I'll show to people, this is where I feel a pain. And then there's somebody that have a pain there, and then God will touch them. Or it's a thought. One of my other friends, he sees a picture of a skeleton. He says, when he prays for people, it's like, and then he sees a part of where the skeleton is, it's like light. And then he asked me, he said, do you have a problem in your shoulder or wherever he sees it? And most of the time it's right. And then he prays and then God heals them. Okay? So use the gift of knowledge to bring healing. Ingela, you want to say something about that? Or, okay. God uses her also often very strong in that. I'm not sure yet what we're going to do tonight. I'm still praying. Pray with me. There's this a lot of things going in my mind. I'm asking God. But tomorrow, as I said, what I'm planning and thinking we're going to have is the Holy Spirit party. So what we're going to do at that time, we're going to just let God come and release whatever is still blocking us. And then we're going to pray for a release of the gifts, what you feel in your heart. So today and tonight, pray and say, God, what do you want to do in my life? Father, thank you. Thank you, God, that you are the healer. You are the restorer of broken hearts. You are God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Just come, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that even this afternoon when we have fun, and you will continue to visit us, minister to us, give us a bigger revelation of who you are.
Just to say to you, there's some of you that wanted individual prayer, but the way the schedule is going, it doesn't look like we're going to manage that. But if we have sessions like last night and you want individual prayer, please come up. All right, so we'll do like, we'll trust God that sometimes there's a corporate anointing that when you come to the front, there's also lots of other people that can come and help and pray, and that we can just trust God that He will come and just come through for you in that thing that you're specifically trusting Him for. So I just want to say we're sorry that there's not enough time with which we can make the day longer, but we can't. So if there's time for prayer and you're one of those that put your name up, just come to the front, and we're really going to trust God that He will specifically come and give you that breakthrough that you need.
Amen.